So tonight I'm going to talk about the armour of God, and I'm going to look at the belt of truth. So I'm just going to read the scripture, which we're all very familiar with, but I thought if I start off with the scripture. So it's Ephesians 6 and it's verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So, one of the interesting things about the belt of truth is it's the first piece of armour. So why do you think it's the first piece of armour that has to go on? Why do you think it's one of the first pieces that has to go on? Yes.
And it's also like the opposite of, you know, when the devil comes at me with his lies.
Yeah.
You know, opposing it.
Yeah, so we've had there, just for the recording, we've had the truth is everything. We've had that we need to know God's truth, and that because the enemy lies, we have to know the truth in order to combat that. I think one of the other things about, obviously when Paul writes this, there'll be Roman soldiers around when Paul writes this. So this, him using this analogy of the armour, people will be very familiar with the armour and what Roman soldiers look like. One of the things about the belt is, the belt, we all know the belt holds your pants up, doesn't it? It holds everything up and everything. And, you know, if you've ever got a loose belt and it's loose, you know, your pants are falling or becoming undone or whatever, if you're doing anything, are you walking forwards and you're constantly trying to sort of, you know, hold on to your pants, it's going to slow you down, it's going to get in the way. There was an illustration when I was looking this up, and it was doing a race for young people, and it was giving them big pants to run in without a belt. And I just thought, yeah, that's sometimes what not having a belt can be like. You know, you've got big pants to run in, but actually, you know, you're not gonna be an efficient runner, straightforward, off the mark and running, you know, when you're sort of distracted by trying to hold something up. But the important thing about the armour itself, when the Roman soldiers wore that belt of truth, was it actually held the sword. So it held the sword of the Spirit. It's what you said about, you know, knowing God's truth. We learn in the word that the sword is the sword of the Spirit. The other thing that also it held was, it always held anything that the Roman soldier wanted to use with his hand, so a dagger. So it was easy, that it could easily get to something else and use a hand dagger or a hand sword, a much smaller one. It was really important that the belt of truth was on, because that's what it was tucked in there. God's telling us straight away that we are in a spiritual war when we read this scripture, and we face the schemes of the devil. And our earthly struggles are not against flesh and blood. The belt, it's something that when people are fighting, you want it to be tight, secure, around your middle, the core of your being. The fact that he says that that's the belt of truth has got to be the core of who we are. And as I've been thinking about this, there's two truths, really. There's the truth of God's word that we have to know, but also there's the truth of us as a person as well. So it's tied up with truth, how we live our lives, what we say, how we describe things. Truth is really fundamental. Someone who doesn't tell the truth, If you have somebody in the workplace who doesn't tell the truth, you'd be amazed at how many ripples that will send across everywhere. A doubting what that person says, not just about one thing but about everything, and it makes people distrust. When I was a little girl, my dad used to say to me, "You've always got to," and I remember from being incredibly young, instilled in us, "You have to me. If you don't, you'll always." Told a lie, people will never believe anything that you ever say. So we had this real core of morality. And when we were little, there was two of us at home, two girls, and when we were little, what they used to do was, if something happened in the house, they used to get us together. And what they'd say to us, "Who's done it? Is it you or is it you?" And what they used to do was, they used to look at the colour of our faces, because I used to go red, and my sister never changed colour in any way. And they knew that if I went red, it were me. And they knew that, obviously, if I didn't go red, it was my sister. So they really didn't have to interrogate very far, because I couldn't tell lies from being very, very, very young. I used to blush straight away. So that was kind of how our household ran, but it was incredibly straight and very, very, very moral. I think one of the things in the Bible, you've touched on it, that Satan's a liar. And actually, Scripture says... It's Matthew 4, verse 11, that Satan is the father of lies and the great deceiver. And then the scripture that we've got to back that up is, during the time the devil came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Satan in the Bible always twists words. So I always think that when he spoke to Eve, the way that it was said, "Did God say?" So it didn't say, God didn't say. He said, he put doubt there, didn't he? Sowed seeds of doubt. And I think for us, I think that's what Satan does with us. He'll sow seeds of doubt. Can you do it? Can you really do that? Are you able to do that? Has God told you to do that? What will people think if you do that? So it's subtle. It's very, very subtle. You might say, as a Christian, well, let me ask you a question. Do you lie? No. Is it a no for all of us that are here?
I used to lie. But when I gave my life to the Lord, I just can't. Because I just know that God's watching me and I just cannot do it. I just find it really difficult.
I think what we do, we move into telling half truths rather than whole truths.
Oh, when you like my lies, people call my lies and
something. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, is exaggeration a lie?
It's not the truth.
No.
It's not the truth.
No.
It's exaggerating something. So, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. So, exaggeration. You know, as a Christian, I've been known to exaggerate. So. No, I know that, so I'll repeat them. I will do. Thank you. So, as a Christian, I would say I'm not a liar, but I'd say, have I been known to exaggerate? Yes. Am I careful sometimes how I write things? Sometimes I am. If I have to write a report, sometimes I really look for the good news, and sometimes I leave out the bad news. Because I'm thinking of who's reading the audience. Is that a lie? Do you see what I'm saying?
Sometimes, because of the circumstance, you might have to do what by not saying something doesn't mean say you're lying, does it?
No. No, so I might want to be say something that's incredibly positive. So what I'll do is I'll get some figures together that are really positive figures there that's really important. I probably won't put that one in. Now, if it's obviously a list of all the same and it's a direct comparison, I would. But if I was doing something which was pick the highlights out, I'd pick the highlights out and I wouldn't go to something that was particularly. But you've just got to be very careful because that's where the spin comes in.
A bit like politicians, isn't it? One speech.
Yeah. And we do, our world is political. Our world is in the workplace, it's quite can be quite political. It's about who's on.
I've had a circumstance at work where I was going to a job, the client's been told we're on the way, we'll be there shortly. And we're not even self.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So if they ask me what's happened, I'll just say,
yeah.
Well, you're trying to put pressure on me to say, tell them the van broke down, that's why you're 3 hours late.
I've been asked to say that someone's not in the office when they were, yeah. And I've just said to people, I can't do that. If you're either in the office or you're not in the office.
Plus, you've done that for the first time. Like,
absolutely. So.
He's in the office, but he doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah. He can't talk to you. Can't talk to you right now. They are here, but they can't talk to you right now.
When I worked at the homeless hostel, one of the guys said, can you tell him I'm not here? I said, can't. I said, can you go?
Yeah, go out.
I can't see him.
Yeah.
So, I can't see him at the moment.
True. So we might think that we're absolutely godly and straightforward and we don't tell lies, but I would say every now and again there is just something there that is like, okay. It's not an out and out, Lord. You know, it's a bit like what you said. It's not.
It's like distortion.
It's distortion of the truth, and I would say I'm not a liar, but I would say occasionally I will have distorted something because it's what's required. But actually, is it a lie? No. Is it the total truth based on before and after? Sometimes I'll pick the best things out. Yeah.
I live in absolute truth. I don't know whether we can get there. Because we're truthful with each other and we all love each other and we're all operating in the spirit, then it's a possibility. But like you say, sometimes when we are truthful, it can be painful.
Yeah, it can be painful being truthful.
Isn't in the spirit, you're upset. Because they never know we see it. That's why living in the truth, we've got to dodge and weave a little bit sometimes because we know who we're talking to. So it's a really difficult thing to live in, I think, to live in absolute truth.
Mm.
But just saying that the truth will set you free, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I think somebody occasionally will say to me, I might say to one, and it's something positive, and they'll say to me something along the lines of,
"That's all right. Just have to record soon."
They'll say something to. I'll say something, and they'll say something like, "Oh, that's really nice," that or something, and I'll say, "No, I mean it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it." And that happens with me. And for compliment to make someone feel better. And I think that is sometimes what that person want me to say that would make them feel better, but actually it's not true.
You're like a lie in a way.
Yeah, so I'm quite hot on that. I won't say something to someone unless I really mean it. And if I don't mean it, I say I don't say nothing. I'd rather than say straight in that way. And I don't say things to people. The other thing I don't do is I don't. Christian, I was incredibly sarcastic, and I don't do any form of them. So you well know I'm not sarcastic because I could if I wasn't a Christian, be incredibly sarcastic. because I'm quite witty, but it'd be nasty witty. And something that's God's done with me, whereas I've become, he's changed that. So I think our words are very, very important, and how we use our words.
And a lot of it to do as well with that, you know, the renewing and transforming of your mind.
Yeah, renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2. Yeah. It's very, very important.
Because, like, your thought process, what you think, what you're thinking, in terms of what you're saying, you know, they're quite close to linked, and sometimes you can, I don't know, like you were saying about, you can't say something that you don't really believe in.
Yeah.
What I've struggled with, and this is sort of like when the boys used to do Christmas and Father Christmas, but as I've grown in my faith, I really struggle with it a bit now. And I don't know how it would be with grandkids. Would I still go down the road of Father Christmas? And it's not true, is it? And it's, I don't know. It's just, I'm just being honest, I just don't know how. I mean, we did it all with the kids and everything, and we do it here at Christmas and that, but
if you take that to its logical conclusion, you'll have to stop your kids reading books that affect you.
Fairy stories, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Well, I don't know though, because you don't, when it's a story, you're reading a story, it's a story, it's not true. But when your kids are growing up, it's Father Christmas coming tonight, and you're almost building it up as a truth.
It's like a tooth fairy, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not.
But I mean, they live in that environment. Liam does, you know. He'll believe that he is whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not criticising. I'm just putting it out there and just saying it's a bad thing.
Kids live in, when kids are developing, they play. That's how they learn.
Imagination.
Yeah.
It's really important, and it's I suppose how far you encourage that. But I know, I remember Aaron used to think he was Batman and throw himself off things. Stupid boy. Didn't he? He used to think he could fly because he had a cape on.
Yeah.
And off he'd go.
That's kids like you.
Yeah.
A wonderful imagination.
But I think
there's a slight difference with Father Christmas in that, really.
Yeah, but I think a lot of us will pull back from going the whole hog with everything, I think, because it's in perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would say probably is there's a line probably we won't cross. And you know, there's lots of things that people do which really, really, you know, will make something really appear it's true, but actually I would think we would pull back from that quite a lot. So, you know, our kids get quite a basic Father Christmas. Well, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not flying to the North Pole, you know what I mean? Going on a hunt for Father Christmas.
I mean,
you know,
it's out there
and everything, but I think there's some things which are part of childhood, and you know, everyone's got to make their own choices, haven't they? But I think one of the things that came to me when you were speaking then was motive is incredibly important when we speak. And when we're telling the truth, our motive, and what you said before about being careful with the truth. We can tell the truth, but we have a responsibility to be careful with the truth. Because you get people and they say things like, well, I say it as it is. That's not godly. That's not Christian. You know, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, it's not dumping on someone truth. Dumping on someone and then someone's really hurt by that. So we haven't got permission to, and people used to say things in church like, oh, we'll tell you the truth in love. There weren't any love, it was just truth, like slap bang, like you'd been hit with a wet fish.
But
so
Jesus, he could have told the truth about everybody.
Yeah,
but he was very careful with what he said. And if somebody like the rich young ruler, how do I do this? Well, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
You
didn't condemn.
This is the truth.
The Apostle Paul was saying only about eating, you know.
Yeah.
With pagans, and you know, if food didn't work, if he had his own faith, he had his own understanding, but he could have upset somebody who was a weak faith, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he was basically saying, you know, you've got a life, a good situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do what you want, actually, but some of it you hold yourself in because it's not beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's covering an alcoholic type of thing, and you say that's okay, you might get the wrong idea, might be so.
Yeah. So we do have to be careful with truth. And everything we do is, it's got to be balanced by love, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's really important.
So, just to go back to what we said at the beginning, Satan's a liar. John 8, verse 44. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but only say what the Father's taught me. But the believer, whose life is controlled by truth, will defeat him. The girdle kept the other pieces of armour in place, the sword, which is what I said at the beginning. One of the keys to telling the truth is knowing God's word. The more I understand and read God's word, the Bible, the more understanding that I have about truth. So as I said at the beginning, is the truth of God's word, which we are putting into action every day in our lives. And then there's the truth that we are challenged to live in our own lives. How do we apply being truthful? How do we apply God's word that changes us from the inside out? And display integrity, honesty, what we said before, love, truth. Once the lie gets into the mouth, life, everything then has the potential to fall apart. Another thing that my dad used to say to me was, if you tell lies, you have to have a very good memory. And I think once people start to lie, there's something about when you meet someone who tells lies, that once they start a story, when they start to relay things and you listen to them, at some point they'll change the story. They'll say something different. It's quite interesting. I watch a lot of crime stuff, a lot of factual crime. I like the whodunit and working out what. And quite often one of the things they say is, someone will give a statement and then it changes. And it'll change ever so slightly. Not enough to be totally different, but it starts to paint a different picture from what people said, maybe verbally when they were first arrested, or maybe they're a witness or something. And people's accounts change. Whereas if someone's telling the truth,
it doesn't change,
it's the same.
One of the things about, we do live in an atmosphere of lies. We do. Then that person who's actually telling them the lies and the truth, because they live in that place, they believe what they're saying is true.
Mm.
And so they don't even discern truth from lies. They've gone past that point. And so you'll ask them a question. No. Well, they believe what they're saying. And so it talks in scripture about having a seared conscience. And it's almost like, if you just say what I want. And if I believe it, then it's true. And so they even go past the point of feeling convicted and guilty and all that kind of stuff. They just but what it does mean, and what we're trying to teach, is if that's how you live, eventually everybody will suss you out.
Yeah.
And nobody will want part of you because they don't know when you're telling the truth or not.
Sometimes you've got to delve that a little bit deeper. Because I remember years ago when we were first doing child protection, or child safeguarding now, one of the first things we were taught was to always believe the child. And then, it's only when you can delve a little bit deeper that you realise that the child might be lying,
Yeah, and it's really hard.
It's difficult to discern, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, there's an old phrase, an older phrase probably, habitual liar. But people are in such a habit of telling a lie, what you said is right, Mark, that they can't tell the difference between the truth and a lie. And they're so used to. And that is something, when people become Christians, I think when people become Christians, these are things we really need to pray for people. That if they've come from a background of that, then we've really got to pray that when they start their new Christian life, that there's a breakthrough in that area.
Yeah.
Because these things will continue you know, unless God deals with them, it's like lots of things that people then bring into kind of the new life. And that's why it's really important for the old life's gone, condemnation of that old life has gone, and they're starting something fresh and new. You know, some people with the Holy Spirit, it's instant. He changes them straight away. Some people, it takes a while for them to, for God to change them. You know, and our job is to be grateful and patient with people. God doesn't condemn them, neither should we. But I think we need to be aware that people will come in and they've lied all their life, and then suddenly they're coming into a church, or, you know, coming to a faith, and then suddenly it's not all going to be sorted for some people. And it's about us teaching them, actually, and about getting alongside people.
I think as well, some people can have...
Yeah.
Because I'm just seeing through some of my relatives where there's been, like, they've constantly had to lie. And that's been fetched out, that's been demonstrated to the children, and they picked up on it.
Yeah.
And it's become a habit, but it's because of what they've seen their parents do. And it's, so you've got that as well. It's a generational thing. It's taught behaviour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for over a year, King David lied about his sin with Bathsheba. For a year, he kept up a lie. And nothing went right for him when he was in that lie. And if you want to read further about that, that's Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. So a Christian has daily got to put that belt on. It's almost like as you get physically dressed in the morning, you need to be aware that your own life is under God's authority and under God's truth.
It's also like what you were saying, you have to die daily.
Yeah, we do. We do have to die daily. So, understanding truth and living in truth, I think the only thing I would want to be really careful of, for me personally, and I think for us Christians, is that we don't come across as a self-righteous type of truth. It's really difficult to, I think, to tread that line sometimes, because sometimes people don't understand why you've got your faith, or don't understand where you're coming from, and they can feel that our approach is that we're better than them. So it's not a humble approach. And I think one of the things that we need to continually ask God about is that we're humble and that we're not self-righteous. Because obviously that's how the church of the day, when Jesus was around, that's how they came across, didn't they? By keeping rules, keeping regulations, telling people what they weren't doing, you know, telling people they weren't good enough. And I think for us, it's having this thing of being honest and true, in, like Mark said earlier, in a very loving way. The things that impress people about coming to this church is that they're not condemned and they're accepted. That blows them away. So, you know, in our lives, with other people that we meet who don't physically come to this church, that's what I want them to feel as well, that they are not condemned and they're accepted. And in the conversations that we have with them, they're not condemned and they're accepted, and that we're supportive, that we're good friends, that we look after people, that when we're aware that, you know, something's wrong with someone, that we're thoughtful about how we respond to that. And what you said, Alex, about being honest and not feeling pressurised by others to tell a lie. I mean, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that since Donald Trump came with that new phrase, fake news, you know, it says everything's fake news. You know, he's saying everything's untruthful, everything in the media is twisted, and you know. And then obviously when we had the Tony Blair stuff, it was the spin doctors, everything was spin and spun, you know, to say different things. So words can be changed. So the Roman soldier, because almost every other part of his armour depended for his security and usefulness. So I've already said that the belt was used to hang his sword and his dagger and any other hand weapons. I've also said that if the belt was loose, so that would make the soldier feel awkward and unready, and give a sense of going to pieces. And armour going into battle gives a person fighting confidence. You know, having the belt on, having something secure, having those weapons ready when you need them. If you use it, that analogy, whenever we're going into something, knowing that we've put ourselves before God, and that we're living a life before God that's right, that gives us the confidence to go forward in any situation. I used to have a situation a long time ago. Jonathan would be about two, and perhaps it was 25 years ago. I used to end up in these meetings with where there would be probably 12 men in a boardroom, and there'd only be me. And I used to really find it difficult being in this boardroom, in this meeting sort of set up. And what I ended up doing was, I ended up where I went and bought a suit. I went and made sure my hair was done, made sure I'd got my makeup on, made sure that I was externally, you know, the woman who could sit in that room with all these men. And I knew that I was all right. I knew that intellectually I was all right, and I knew that factually what I needed to know, I knew that I was fine. But just the thought of regularly sitting, it wasn't for long, it was only for a few months while I was doing a project. But I had to sit in this room with probably 12 other men who were all suited and booted. But just going out, buying that suit, having my hair done, making sure my makeup was right, just enabled me to feel quite secure in that room from the point of view of externally, you know what I mean? And sometimes I think, you know, we have got to, in our situations, internally, externally, be ready for situations that we're in. So that's just to give you something a bit funny from a long time ago. So, having the truth does three things. Brings stability to our temperament, which falls in line with the fruit of the Spirit, and I put their self-control. It will having the truth, number two, it will control our thoughts, which is what you said about the renewing of your mind. The battle is always in the mind, always. We've said already, the devil's job is to rob, steal and destroy. So if you can put any doubt in our mind for any situation, yeah, she's really good. Yeah, she's good on that. And then the third thing is, the truth, having the truth will control our speech. And I've always really liked the book of James. It's the rudder of our boat. Our voice, our tongue is one of the most important things. Words are very, very powerful. Words encourage, they destroy. Words can't be taken back when they've been said. It's really very, very important to have control of our tongue. People in the Bible who wore the belt of truth. So I've just done two examples. So one is Joseph in Potiphar's house, when he found himself in the bedroom with Potiphar's wife, and obviously did a runner. You know, he made a truthful choice, was quickly out of there. And Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar interpreting the dream. When the king wanted to know what the truth was, and it was Daniel who went away a few days and then came back with the truth. And then those who've allowed the belt of truth to be loosened are removed. So we've already said about David with Bathsheba, which led to all sorts of problems, didn't it? Samson and Delilah, that was his ruin. And Jacob tricking Esau into his inheritance. And truth, how does it have the final say in how you live today? So this is what I'm going to finish on. So these are just a few things. Does the truth influence the relationships you have? Does the truth influence how you deal with a dispute at work? Does the truth influence your decisions today, tomorrow, this week? Does the truth influence how you parent? Does the truth influence how you are at work? Does the truth influence how you worship? Does the truth influence what you believe? So just to conclude, to wear the belt of truth is to walk straightforwardly in the path of God's word without deviation to the right or to the left. Therefore, what Paul exhorts us to believe, the whole truth of the gospel, and to walk straightforwardly therein. And then I've said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Which is Romans 8, verse 31. So that we can be strong, we can move forward. Okay. Has anybody got any questions? Is there any situations that you're struggling with?
Would it be fair to say that if you didn't have the power of truth and you had the opposite?